I want you to look again this morning. I want you to notice verse 21, where the Apostle Paul reminds his readers of something that God declared concerning his character and his will. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, of course, the picture here that God is employing in his word is one that's familiar to all people in all ages. God says what? I have stretched forth my hands. This is a very clear portrayal of reaching out, of reaching down. And what does it say? What's the word in verse 21? Of reaching unto. I have stretched forth my hands unto. Well, unto whom? Unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The word gainsaying means to dispute. These were people who were fighting against God. And so the first thing we note is as God is stretching forth his hands. When you stretch forth your hands, your arms are thereby extended. And again, those arms are extended. Note this, not to a cute little baby or out to a friend or a brother or a benefactor. These are the hands of God, outstretched arms extended to those who are disobedient and rebellious. And yes, while that is amazing enough in itself, that's not the only glory of this text, because the real glory that I want us to consider this morning is those three words in verse 21, all day long. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I want to speak this morning on those three words, all day long, and I hope you'll listen very carefully, considering what it was, what it is that God is saying to his own. Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning, as we've been blessed already by the music and the fellowship of your people. Please now help us to be blessed with the preaching and teaching of your word. We commit this time into your hands, asking for your help. May all sins, all distractions be cast aside, dear Father, that we can focus on what the Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was given the unique opportunity to play back-to-back rounds of golf with Dan Marino, the former Dolphin quarterback. And, of course, it was unique for me because as a lifelong Dolphin fan, I was used to hearing Marino's voice on television like you have been, and on the radio, and interviews, games, and commercials. And so, throughout the day, hearing that exact same voice say things like, do you want a Coke, or would you grab my glove, or do you have a tea I can borrow? That was kind of weird, but it was also weird hearing the same man, Dan Marino, call my name in that familiar voice, except he chose to call me Jimmy, and he would say something like, Jimmy, throw me another ball, or Jimmy, throw me my putter, and no, I didn't say, go long, Dan, or anything like that. Anyway, the entire day, Marino would use this certain expression. He would sink a 10-foot putt, and he would say, all day long. He would hit a long drive, 300 yards straight down the middle, and he would say it again, all day long. And every time he did something impressive on the golf course, he would say it, all day long. Toward the end of the round, which was a team competition for a charity, and it was alternate shot. They would do a shot, your partner would shoot, and then you would have to hit the next shot of his. He chipped up to about 4 feet, and so it was my turn to putt. And we really needed this par, and so he stayed over there to where he had chipped the ball with some other professional golfers and his buddies, and they were surrounded there waiting for me and watching me to putt out. We had a caddy at that place, and so the caddy there read the putt, showed me the break, and then he stepped aside. I did not want to miss that putt. And I might not have, except that Marino yelled out to me, all day long, Jimmy, all day long. Well, you know, hearing the quarterback in his Hall of Fame voice telling me that I needed to make this putt and I could do it all day long, well, it was unnerving. I got up, I addressed the ball, I looked over, they're all looking, I knocked it right through the break, past the hole about 3 feet, and it was choke city. And of course, I reacted by glaring at the caddy like it was his fault. You know, you told me it was going to break or whatever. I was definitely not all day long. In fact, when I finally got the nerve to look over at Marino and the others, he was laughing and giving me the choke sign. Which is why in the next tee I said, hey, Dan, didn't Elway at least win a Super Bowl? I was just curious about that. Anyway, this past Wednesday night, after teaching on this same text in Romans chapter 10, Brother Chris and I were talking, and he took note of the words of our text, and I looked at it, and the first thing it reminded me of was Dan Marino all day long. The only eternal difference is, when Dan said all day long, it really wasn't true. You weren't allowed to have your phones out or your cameras, but of course I did. And I took several pictures of that day. And I'm reminded whenever I see them that I have one picture of him walking through the palmettos looking for his lost ball and another of him grounding his club in the bunker. He was wrong. And it wasn't not for him all. I mean, I could have said, hey, your ball's lost all day long. I could have said that just as well. And clearly he was wrong about me getting ready to putt and being Mr. All Day Long. But such is the frail nature of man. In this case, however, it is not man. It is God who is speaking. And when he says, all day long, I stretch forth my hands. What it means, beloved, are very powerful, important truths for the people of God. For example, the first one I want you to notice is that, number one, God is more than we know. Verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands. Now again, I want you to remember what this picture and what this portrayal of God is all about. God is stretching forth his hands. Again, this is the picture. So that, folks, when we say that it is a lesson that God is more than we know, what we mean is that it is more mercy, he is more patience, he is more grace, he is more love than we could ever know. You see, folks, this is us most all of the time. But this is God. What does he say? All day long. By the way, you may notice a similarity between this and this. As our Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, it is a simple reminder that God never says in his word, all day long do I raise my fist. He doesn't say, all day long have I drawn my sword. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning, but it never says that his anger is new every morning. Yes, God has indignation, and yes, his judgment is sure and it is certain, but the patience, the picture in this text is one of patience and long-suffering. All day long, he is offering his grace. In Matthew 23, and by the way, note that, in Matthew, not chapter 1 or 2, in Matthew chapter 23, which means just before his crucifixion, after years of healing and teaching and ministry, in Matthew chapter 23, after a long season of grace and of his service to man, he is now facing rejection and unbelief. It is here that Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest those that are sent unto thee, how oft I would have gathered together as a hen doth gather her chicken under her wings, but you would not. Now again, that's Matthew 23. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, all day long, all a ministry long, our Lord did this. Is God more than we know? Oh yeah, he's more mercy, more grace, more patience, more long-suffering, and more love than we could ever hope to know. 40 years ago, when I was a freshman in Bible college, I was out in Chicago with my friend from Oklahoma, Mark, and we were visiting these apartments as we did every Saturday in the Logan Square area, Armitage Avenue. And you know, in the city, you don't just go around knocking on doors and people open the door or whatever. Actually, you ring a buzzer. And then you hope that the person on the other side of the intercom will buzz the entrance. They usually say, who is it? My name is Jim Blaylock. I'm from First Baptist Church, and we're out here visiting. Man, no, they'll let you in. 9 times out of 10, it was, get out of here, you know, whatever, leave. So it didn't happen very often, but on this particular occasion, when we said who we were, he buzzed us in immediately. So we walked up a couple flights of stairs, and we came to that little apartment, and there to greet us was this little Russian-American fireball by the name of Peter Dynica. We didn't know him. I'd never heard of him. But just like Brother Eric, he was full of zeal. He was full of love. He was full of kindness. He invited us in. And before long, we sat down and we learned, two young preacher boys, that he was the founder of the Slavic Gospel Association. He was nicknamed Peter Dynamite because of his boldness. He had gotten saved in 1920 under the ministry of Paul Rader there in Moody Church. And as he talked with us, you could tell we were in the presence of a true man of God. Eventually, after about 45 minutes, he laid hands on both of us. He prayed for us and our future ministries. He gave us copies of the books that he had written, his signed copy of his autobiography, Twice Born Russian, Peter Dynamite. He told us amazing stories. His father, his three brothers, his two sisters all died, he said, of starvation in the Russian famine in 1921. At the time of our visit, he was 80 years of age and pretty much a walking Bible. And so as the visit came to an end, I commented on his joy, his enthusiasm, his victorious spirit. And he looked at me and he said, Bliski doki. Doki means friend, and I think Bliski is something like my dear friend or something. He said, let me tell you one thing you must never forget. And of course, as an 18-year-old preacher boy, I leaned in. I wanted to hear every word. And he said, if you are saved today, it is because God wanted you as his child. Never forget, he said, that God wanted you to be his child. Now, folks, when he first said it, I thought about it as a neat theology. I thought about it as a great thought. But that week, as I really thought about it, it wasn't just neat. It was beyond comprehension. It was mind-blowing, and it still is. All day long, God stretched forth his hands because he wanted me to be his own child. And if you're here today and you're saved, nobody wanted you to be saved. Nobody wanted you to be a child of God more than the Father himself. So yes, God is more than we know, but that's not all. The second thing this picture shows us and tells us is that, number two, man is less than he thinks. Verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. In other words, now folks, please don't miss this. If it is true that God has stretched out his hands all day long, then therefore it is also true that man has rejected and despised him all day long. In other words, man is far, far less than he ever thinks that he is. He is less good. He is less holy, less decent, less wise, and less able. You say, oh, well, Pastor, I didn't come to church today to be insulted. I came to church today to feel good about myself because I'm refined and I am decent, I'm cultured, I'm successful. I don't know, it could be. But let me tell you something. Without Christ, we were a disobedient and gainsaying people. We were enemies of God. When I was in high school, not far from here, my classmates who were lost would often repeat the old, same old argument. They would say, but Jimmy, what about the innocent? And of course, it never was just what about the innocent. It was always, what about the innocent people in other countries? Well, I'd lived in other countries, and you know what? I never saw these mythological people. Matter of fact, I lived in those other countries, and I for sure didn't become one of those innocent people. You know why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are no innocent people. Verse 12 says, look at it with me, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, here's what he's saying. Jews who had the scriptures, Greeks who held to their mythologies, no difference. They are all lost without Jesus Christ. Lost because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, folks, if the Lord Jesus has been doing this all day long, if all day long God has been reaching, stretching forth his hands, if Christ has been doing this all day long, it's because man has been doing this all day long. You say, Pastor, that's not true. America is a Christian nation. Probably 68% of Americans run into the arms of Christ. Really? I'll be honest with you, beloved, I'm not sure that 68% of the people in this room have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice what Paul says? Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Man is less than he thinks. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if God has outstretched hands, what is the first thing you would notice if Christ is stretching those hands? The first thing you would notice, beloved, is that they are pierced and they are wounded. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me, which is to say that you're not really coming to God until and unless you believe in his Son and are coming to him for salvation. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Man is less than he thinks he is. You know, those of you who have a printer at home, you may have noticed that when you buy a printer cartridge, and lately it seems like the printer cartridges are getting pricier and more, and with less and less ink. Right? It's gotten to the point that you put in your new cartridge, the green happy light comes on, you print out the alignment sheet, and immediately you get a notice that your cartridge is low on ink already, right? It's never enough. It's always less. And you know what? This is absolutely true of us when we go about, the Bible says here, to establish our own righteousness outside of Christ. And maybe you came to church this morning, you're thinking, I'm decent. I'm a good person. I'm better than that other guy. Maybe you've come to church this morning thinking, I'm a church member and I give money to the church and I've done good things and so on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. J. Vernon McGee used to say they had a game in California called Jumping to Catalina Island, and they would run as little boys off of this dock, Catalina Island, some 20-plus miles off the coast. And they would jump to Catalina Island, and of course, some would get closer than others, but they all fell short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may not be as bad as that other guy, but you're as bad off as that other guy. It brings us then to the third truth in the text. We said, number one, it shows that God is more than we know. Number two, man is less than he thinks. The third thing this picture shows is that grace is nearer than we realize. Notice those two words again in verse 21. See the words stretched forth. What does it tell us? Well, clearly, folks, his arms are not folded. And clearly, it tells us God's hands are not down. The word stretch means extended. In fact, it literally means to reach forth to the fullest extent. They're not just stretched, ladies and gentlemen. They are stretched forth, the Bible says. It is a reminder this morning that God's grace, by his own choice, is always nearer, closer than man ever realizes. You see how near, Pastor? Look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh. That means near. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Can you get any closer than that? Yes, you can. Read it again. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that's a semicolon, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so close, all you have to do is say it. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You say, see, Pastor, there's all those innocent people who've never heard. Actually, I realize a lot of missionaries use this verse in that context, but that's not at all what God is emphasizing in this verse. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Because he goes on to say this in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Paul is quoting Psalm 19, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." You see, folks, beside the fact that Paul has already said back in chapter 2 of Romans that the law is written on the very heart of every man, it is also true that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 2:11, grace is nearer. It's stretched forth than any of us realize. All day long, God has stretched forth his hands. And that's why he says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." People oftentimes look at Romans and what's known as the Romans Road and the plan of salvation that's clearly delineated here, and they say, you know what? It's just too easy. The Bible says to believe and receive and you have eternal life. That's just too easy. May I say this morning, it just appears easy. If you walk into a room and there's a little sign that says, "Turn the light switch on," that sign is a message and it's telling you what to do. You know what? It seems easy. You flip the switch and guess what you have? Light. It's amazing. But behind that simple act of faith, there are electrical wires and there are transformers and substations and there's a power plant, maybe a coal-burning power plant or a nuclear plant or a hydro plant somewhere. That is not simple. Salvation is not simple. It was simply paid on your behalf by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's not simple is to get someone who is lost and in their sin to admit that their righteousness is never enough and that God sent his Son and he is the end of righteousness. If you're here this morning and you've never done the simple thing, you've done all these other things, you've tried to pray your way into heaven, you've tried to give your way into heaven, you've tried to be good your way into heaven, but you've not done the one thing, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 11, the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be shamed." There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved. Here it is. Number one, God is more than we know. He's more grace. He's more patient. He's more mercy. Number two, man is less than he thinks. Number three, grace is nearer than we realize. And then number four, there's something else about this picture. It shows us that time is shorter than it feels. You see what it says? "But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands." Can I ask you a question? Why does God use the word day? Why not say, "For all of eternity I've stretched forth my hands"? Well, for one thing, he uses day because the night cometh. In other words, a day has an end. It is a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that time is short, and it's always, always shorter than it feels. But Pastor, all day long, God's been stretching forth his hands for 2,000 years. That's true. But you've only got a little fraction of those 2,000 years for yourself. The day is always shorter than it feels. Time is short. When I was a boy, I remember two dates that seemed unattainable, just way far away. I'd never lived to see them. One was the year 2000. Remember that as a boy? Maybe you did. I'm not sure, but I did. I'd read comic books and things like that, and things would happen in the year 2000. They were going to happen. My flying car would be available and such. It seemed like all sci-fi, futuristic stuff. When things were either the year 2000 or... Another big one was the year 2020. 2020 was, you know, living on Mars and, again, flying cars and the Jetsons and their futuristic utopia. I mean, they had a dog named Astro, right? I mean, this was way off into the future. And it was always, as a little boy, 2000 and something. Well, folks, the year 2000 Y2K. It's come and gone. And 2020, when I was a boy, that was unattainable. 2020, you realize that's just 4 years away. It's just 4 years, and it will be this mythological, amazing 2020. Pastor, what will it be like when 4 years have passed? I don't know, because I don't have 2020 vision. See what I did there, right? Now, wait a minute. All day long is a reminder that time is shorter than it feels. I suppose the hardest thing that I have to do as a teacher of teenagers, high school and junior high that I've been teaching many, many years, the hardest thing, the most difficult concept to get across to young people is that their life is short. They think they have forever. None of us have forever. So that the question this morning is this: when God stops stretching forth his hands, and he will it be too late? Will it be too late for you? Too late, I say, because all day long he has offered and waited and called until the day is done. That's why our Lord said, "Work, for the night is coming when no man shall work." This is the time for those of us who are saved to tell the world that all day long he's holding out his hands. And this is the time for those of you in this room who've never, by simple faith, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledged and accepted him as Lord and Savior. This is the time for you to open your heart in faith. But to Israel he saith, "All day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Jesus came to call sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. Father, bless the invitation as we commit it into your hands. Thank you for this powerful illustration, this powerful picture that tells us so much about who you are and what your will is, and your character and your nature. Thank you, dear God, that we're reminded that at least for those of us who are saved, you were patient and long-suffering. And I pray, God, that in that patience and long-suffering, folks in this room that are not saved will not wait, but will hasten to come to Christ. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.